Check one, check two. All right, folks. Well, let's have a few moments. You're already gathering and visiting with one another, so let's keep that on for a couple more minutes, and then we'll come back with some birthdays and announcements, and then we'll get on down the road with it. Amen? Birthdays and announcements. Can you believe it? Yeah. Okay. Well, these are the announcements. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here in a sec. And I hope you've had a great Christmas with your families. Have you had a good Christmas? All right. If you didn't get what you wanted, what you got is better than a poke in the eye and a kick in the rear. Amen? All right. Very good. So we've got a few birthdays for us. This will be, for announcement-wise, this will be our service for the day. We will not have PM worship tonight. We will not have Wednesday night service this week. Starting next Sunday, which will be in the new year, we will be back on track. So starting next Sunday, we will have AM, PM, and Wednesday night program will begin again. Okay, so just a kind of keep you up to date on that. Birthday-wise, let's see here. It is. Terry Kimball's birthday is today. Amen. All right. Miss Terry, if you're watching online, happy birthday, girl. Or Vince is watching online, so Vince, if she's working, tell her, text her. We said happy birthday. Amen. All right. And then Wednesday, 12:29, Lee Tosh. All right, Brother Lee, going to have a birthday. How old are you going to be, Brother Lee? 73. Amen. All right. Very way to go. Any other birthdays in the house this morning? Anybody else got a birthday? All right. Going once, going twice. All right. We're going to sing happy birthday. All right, brother. Yeah, Jesus had one yesterday. Yeah, all right. Amen. That's right. Very good. Sure.
We sing happy birthday or happy birthday, Jesus?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Will you stand if you can? We're going to sing a couple of praise and worship songs here. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? How great is your love? It reaches to the heavens. How great is the heart that sought and rescued me? How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? How great is your love? It reaches to the heavens. How great is the heart sought and rescued me. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? Is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? Amen. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. A song that Jesus gave me, it was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. You may be seated. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Yeah, we're a little rusty.
Yeah, a little rusty. My fault.
Here we go.
We can sing I Love You, Lord, again, unless somebody has a quick hymn they want us to sing.
I don't know, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, that's a good one. I was going to do that for invitation. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the first three and the five. One, three, and five.
Is it on, Bobby?
It's on. Okay, there it goes.
Father God, we come to you this morning just giving you praise, honor, and glory for this day, Lord. We give you so much praise for sending your son for the forgiveness of our sins if we turn to him, Lord. And just let anyone here today, Lord, that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior, just make this be the day, Lord. And we ask you to bless this offering, bless this church, bless our schools, and be with everyone traveling today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you need to cough, go ahead and cough. Get that cough over with. Amen. You need to be thanking the Lord for your Omicron variant. It's transitioning. We've been praying that this thing would transmutate into something less, and it has. And the next prayer is that it just transitions on, just be a part of the common cold. Amen. It just transitions on out. I think when this thing started getting going, I told you it'd be 2 years, and it's going to be longer than that. So, but the deal is, this is life. You're just going to learn to live with it. Amen? So you can get mad, but I tell you, you just need to get glad in the same pants you got mad in. All right? It's just part of living. All right? And so you just need to roll with it. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, we've got any kids? I don't have any kids in here, do I? All right. Kids are trying. Hey, buddy, can you hang in here with us today? Yeah, can you stay in here with us today? You can come give me a hug. If you want to give me a hug, you can come here and give me a hug. All right. How was your Christmas?
Great.
Did you get everything you wanted?
Yep.
All right.
I got a Hot Wheels bicycle.
You got a Hot Wheels bicycle. Man, what does that look like? Is it cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has a compass.
It has a compass. Okay.
That reads the temperature.
It reads temperature and direction?
Yep.
When you're going fast. All right. Is he keeping it at your house or your house? It's your house? All right. Well, I've got to have a picture of that, okay? So you get mom. Is it mama? What do we call you? You get Nana to send me a pic. All right. You should have my phone in the directory. Send me a pic of that. And are you riding it? Are you getting on it and riding it fast? Are you like pedaling it fast?
Yep.
Okay. And how old are you now? 5 mini. Okay. Huh? 2 weeks he's going to be 6. All right. You got a birthday coming. So
it's on January 5th.
It's on January 5th. Okay. Very good. Well, you may get some more presents. Amen. That's good. Well, hey, no children's church today. Is that okay? Just going to stay in here. Now I'm going to try to be short. Okay. So, for you don't get the juice and the bread yet. Okay. But But one day soon, when you get a little bit older, you know, Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll get juice and bread, okay? So is it okay you hang in here with us for just a little bit? You'll be good and quiet, right? Or as quiet as you can? Amen. All right. Well, it's good to see you. Merry Christmas and happy New Year. All right? Amen. Thank you, buddy. You give me another hug. I'll take them hugs. My kids are so big, they don't hug anymore. I like do this, and they're like. Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Riley. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Oh, for Christmas as a child. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter 26. We'll begin reading here in verse 26. Those of you watching with us online, good to have you. And preacher, why are you speaking so fast? Well, I've had coffee and I've had a latte and I've had a donut and I'm all ready to go. And we still have Christmas. We've got another Christmas gathering when this is all over today. So Christmas is still going on for the Lee household. When you get one of them married and this one over here goes there, and that, you got all these families to consider. And boy, it's not Christmas Day. It's like the week of Christmas. Amen? The week of Christmas. All right, Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. Have you found that this morning? Those of you with us online, good to have you. Those of you visiting with us, good to have you with us today. The Word of God reads this. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Notice what he says in verse 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Verse 30. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time of Holy Communion, Lord, this Lord's Supper table this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the elements. We're thankful for the church. Lord, as we have celebrated your first advent, the birth of your first advent, Lord, today, just the day after that celebration, we remember your death. And what that death means to each and every one of us, and what that death symbolizes for this old lost and dying world, and what that death did for us, we praise you and we thank you for today. May we remember, may we receive it, and Lord, may we begin a new year, 2022, with everything going on. May we begin a new year, focused and ready to serve you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, one thing common to Christians throughout all this world and throughout the ages, in spite of all our many differences, is that Christians have always observed what we call here in this church the Lord's Supper. Now, some call it by different names. Some observe it more frequently than others. Some churches have communion every Sunday. Others have it once a month. Or, like we tend to do around here, we have it once a quarter. There are even some churches that only observe it once a year. Some observe it daily. But we all observe it. Why do we observe the Lord's Supper? Why do we observe? Why do we come to the table? Because Jesus told us to do it. Amen? Luke chapter 22, verse 19 says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, in a few minutes, we will take what is known in this church as open communion together. Open communion means that if you're saved, and you're baptized in the like faith with us. Well, what does that mean? In other words, you were baptized after salvation, not before, because that ain't baptism. You were baptized after salvation as an act of obedience. If you're baptism lines up with us, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are invited, whether you're a member here or not, you're invited to partake of the elements in open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to observe the Lord's Supper. But first, before we do it, let's take just a brief look at the significance of this ceremony. It is a very significant and holy time that we pause to do when we come together at the Lord's Supper table. First of all, I want you to think about the names. The names that this ordinance is called, the names of this thing, the names of the Lord's Supper are significant. Now, what did I say we call it in this church? We call this time of worship here in New Hope, we call it the Lord's Supper. But the term that the Apostle Paul used in 1 Corinthians is that Lord's Supper. But this ordinance of the church is also commonly called the Eucharist. It's also commonly called communion. That's what I grew up calling it back in the day, was communion. The Lord's Supper we get from Paul and refers to the institution of the ordinance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only two ordinances in the church. That's why they got to kind of line up, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Eucharist means thanksgiving. When we think about the names of this great ordinance, it means thanksgiving. It's derived from the word we see in verse 26, blessing. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it. Eucharist comes out of that Greek word. So this is a meal of thanksgiving to God. Somebody say amen. It's a time when we can say, thank you, God, for all you have done for me. Friend, if you've got breath in your lungs, if you've got energy enough to walk in here, if you can sit this morning and stand this morning and sing this morning and worship this morning, and you're going home to a house this morning and you're driving a car to get there and you got food in the fridge, hallelujah, amen. He's done a lot for you. The most important thing to be thankful for this morning is that God sent His Son into the world to die on the cross for my sin, for your sin, for their sin out there. He climbed on that cross and died for our sins. Even though we did not deserve it. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we should take it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That thanksgiving helps us to remember that our salvation is a gift and it's not a paycheck. Nobody earned it here. It's all about grace. Amen? The names are significant. The Lord's Supper, we've covered that. But what about communion or Holy Communion? One of the ancient church fathers, Damascene was his name, he wrote that we call this ceremony communion for two reasons. Reason number one, we partake of the Lord's Supper. When we do that, when we partake of it, we are entering into a communion with Christ. We're entering into a communion with Christ. Now, some denominations and some flavors of religion actually believe in what is called transubstantiation, which means when you take the bread and the juice, that actually turns into the actual flesh and blood of Jesus. We don't believe that. But we believe that when we come together at the Lord's Supper table, we are communing with the very Christ. We are communing with Him. The elements symbolize the communion we have with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross that the barrier between God and humanity was broken. Well, sin stood in the way. But when Jesus said, "It's finished," sin had lost all its power. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. One of these ancient church fathers, I mentioned his name, Damascene, he wrote that we call the ceremony communion for two reasons. Reason number two, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are entering into a communion with one another. A communion with one another in a way that you could call equality. What do you mean by that, preacher? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It is level at the foot of the cross. Ain't no super saints at the foot of the cross. And they're none. We are equally in need of God's grace. Every single one of us. You don't have more need of His grace than I do. I don't have more need of His grace than you do. We are all equally in need of His grace. Whether we've been saved for 50 years and we know all these scriptures and we can quote the books of the Bible forwards and backwards and we know the Bible stories, we still need grace. Whether we've been saved 50 years or whether we've been a saint for less than a year, we all need grace the same. See, we all share a common guilt of sin, and a common need for forgiveness. Praise God for His forgiveness, right? The names are significant this morning as we think about this Lord's Supper, but not only the names, but the symbolism is significant. We just talked about the transubstantiation. We won't go back there, but let's do think about the bread and what we think about it, the bread and what we believe. When Jesus and His disciples had that last supper together, they were actually celebrating, as it began, they were actually celebrating what is called the Passover meal. The Passover meal. At one point in the Passover meal, the leader, he would break a loaf, the one leading the Passover meal, he would break a loaf of unleavened bread, and he would say as he held that unleavened bread up, he said, "This is the bread of affliction which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt." Well, Jesus, he kind of pivoted off of that. Jesus kind of gave that symbolism new meaning when he said, "This bread, this is my body." Now we know he was speaking symbolically, that the bread symbolizes His body that is about to be broken. His body, the bread symbolizes His life that is about to be taken, that He's about to lay down for us. He's referring to His crucifixion. Jesus is referring to His physical death, His affliction as He bears the sin of the world. Bread. Then we come to the wine. In the Old Testament, we see again and again that blood is required for reconciliation. Blood is required for reconciliation to God. Jesus Himself, Jesus said Himself that through the shedding of His blood, we are forgiven. Now, if we just take a sample, just a small sample of the verses in the New Testament, we see that we're justified through His blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." Not only are we justified through His blood, but we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1, 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Not only that, but we have peace with God through His blood. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." Amen. You hearing me? Amen. See, we are purified from all sin through His blood, as 1 John 1, 7 tells us. And as the old hymn says, there is power in the blood. Amen. Right? So, because the names of this ordinance are significant, And the symbolism of the elements are significant. Something else which we should be thanking God for daily is significant. And that's my third point to you this morning. And that is this. Our salvation is significant. Our salvation is significant. Our salvation cost Jesus His life, which implies several things to us as we get ready to come to the table. It implies several things. Number one, a relationship, our relationship with God is not something to take casually. And we don't take that casually. We take that seriously. Our salvation cost Jesus His life, which implies the Godhead is serious about our relationship with Him. The Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man, I want to tell you, they are serious. God is serious about our relationship with Him. God sent the Son, right? The Son obeyed. The Son ascended back and sent the Spirit. So we are saved by the whole Godhead. They all have a hand in our salvation. Three gods? No, one God, three persons, right? Say, preacher, how do you figure that out? You will one day. You don't this side of heaven, but one day you will have that all figured out. Our salvation cost Jesus His life, which implies Jesus was willing to die in order that we might be saved. It implies that Jesus was willing to shed His blood in order that our sins might be washed. And the best news yet about our salvation is this. Having our sins washed away, having our sins washed away is more. It's more than just going to heaven when we die. You get that? Having our sins washed away is more than just going to heaven when we die. What do you mean by that? We can live this life right here, right now, free from the power of sin. Free from the power of sin. Through His blood, through His death, Jesus broke the power of sin, and you, my friends, can be free from that very power of sin. So do you struggle with lying? Do you struggle with gossip or bitterness? Do you struggle with envy or anger? Do you struggle with jealousy or lust or adultery or fornication or stealing? Or the list of sins could go on ad nauseum. Do you struggle with a particular sin? Do you struggle as a sinner? Friend, you can be set free from all those things because Jesus paid the price for your freedom with His blood. Today, when you partake of the cup, take a moment. Take a moment to say to God, and I'll say this again when we get into the midst of it, but thank you. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. The blood that will never lose its power. The blood that removes the penalty and the power in the presence of sin from my life. Thank you, God, for setting me free. And friend, I'm not talking about perfection here, but I'm talking about you working through your sin issues and getting a little more like Jesus each and every day. You get that? We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about doing our due diligence as a Christian and growing in my relationship with Christ and being fed by the sufficiency of the Word and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life and moving past the things that so trip me up and hold me back. That's what we're talking about. You can be set free. You can be set free. Some of you may say, preacher, those words you just said about being set free, I can't say those words. Because, Pastor, I'm deep in it. I'm not free. Sin has a hold on me. And, preacher, I'm telling you, sin will not let go. And my rebuttal to you would be, but you can be set free. This day, today, you can be free. Not by your own power. You got to get out of that deal. Not by your own power, but by the power of the blood of Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit. You can be set free. By your choice. It is your choice. God's given you free will. By your choice to surrender, God will wash away your guilt, and your confession and repentance will allow the power of the blood to be applied by the Holy Spirit to break the stronghold that sin has on your life. I'm telling you, it happens. It can happen. And if you so choose it, it will happen. But it's your choice. So when you partake of the cup this morning, when you eat of the bread this morning, surrender all that you have to Him. Surrender all that you have to Him and say, God, I want the power of the shed blood of Jesus to be at work in my life. To be at work in my life. Forgive me and give me strength to live a holy life. So we bow our heads, and as we close our eyes, we prepare for a time of invitation. As Jeremiah makes his way down front for a hymn of invitation. If you are struggling and you need some time of self-examination, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians about this self-examination when we come to the Lord's Supper table. If you need a time of self-examination, the altars are going to be open in just a few moments for you to come and pray and meet with your Savior right here, right now. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the power of it, the sufficiency of Your Word. Lord, we're thankful how the Word points us to the Word, Jesus, and points us to glorify God the Father. Heavenly Father, we seek to glorify You and the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit today. But Lord, there may be some that are struggling in the area of their personal relationship when it comes to these patterns and these sins that so entrap us and so pull us down. And so, God, we want to take some time. We want to take a few moments to get the slate as clean as we can get it. Choosing to confess, choosing to agree with You that what we've been doing, what we've been going about, what we've been about, choosing to agree that that's wrong, and then, Lord, choosing to turn from those things and begin afresh and begin anew with You. Help us, Lord. Help us seek that forgiveness. Help us make that conscious decision of will that we will agree that it's wrong, that we will turn from the wrong, that we will seek Your face this very day, this very hour, this very moment. We seek to begin 2022 with a new focus, with a new vigor, with a new opportunity to live this privileged life called Christianity. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You, Father God, I pray that they would experience this ordinance today of the Lord's Supper. They would see it as a saved individual. Let not anyone leave this place as lost today. So, Lord, in a few moments when we stand, the lost can come. And those that need to pour their heart out at the altar can come. And those that have another prayer need that You're leading them to pray about, they're more than welcome to come, Lord. May we not quench the Spirit today. But may we be submissive to the moving of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah, lead us in this time of invitation. May be seated, or I tell you what, well, you go ahead and be seated. Deacons, come on down and prepare the elements. They're about ready, and we want to get folks back up to come by, or y'all going to pass them out? What do you think? Have them come up. Okay. Okay, raise your hand. So you're gonna get back up here in a moment, up and down, up and down, up and down. We're going to get you in shape here at New Hope, man. You're going to be ready to run a marathon. So up and down, up and down. So we're going to get you back up. We're going to have you line up, come down, and get your elements. The guys are gloved. They got gloved hands on. And honestly, if they hadn't washed their hands and their hands were bare, the acid in your stomach is going to kill most of the things on the bread. Amen? All right. So you're going to be okay either way, but they are gloved up, and I assure you they both washed their hands. Amen? I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it. So let's all stand up. And let's come down and receive elements. We need to get both elements at a time. So, yeah, both elements at a time. So take your bread, get your cup. You're more than welcome to stay down here. You're more than welcome to go back to your seat. Whatever you feel led to do. You're more than welcome to talk. But our conversation should be of spiritual things. The love feast was the Lord's Supper table for the New Testament church was an agape feast. It was a love feast, a time of coming together and celebrating and remembering the death of Jesus. So it's not a funeral march, but any and all of our conversations should be of a spiritual nature. And if you want to sit there and pray quietly, you're more than welcome to do that as well. got something you can sing?
Yes. Yeah, I have a communion song and an exit song.
Oh, okay.
I can sing whenever.
Yeah. Well, now would be a good time to sing the communion song.
Okay.
Yeah.
According to thy gracious word, in meek humility, this will I do, my dying Lord, I will remember thee. Thy body broken for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be. Thy testamental cup I take, and thus remember thee. When to the cross I turn mine eyes and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember thee.
All right, that's good, brother. Amen. Thank you. Very good. All right. Does everyone have the elements that wants the elements? All right, are we good to go? You're more than welcome to stand. You're more than welcome to sit. Doesn't bother me either way. It's Agape Feast. If you like to stand and eat, that's fine. I normally like to sit down when I eat, but that's okay. God's good. Amen? All the time. And all the time? Yeah, all right. We'll get it right in a minute. We'll get it right 1 year. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
That's right. That's right. Well, man, it's amazing, right? So that body, that little bitty baby in a manger, right? Born into just the most humble conditions. That body grew up. And that body was our Lord. And that body was a perfect body. Lived a perfect life. And so we'll read the passage and we'll have a time of thanksgiving and then we'll partake of the bread. All right? You guys good to go down there? Thank y'all for preparing the elements. The Word of God reads, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And remember what we said. We said today, when we think about the bread, I mean, my soul, think about all the implications of that. What that means. Jesus' body hung on the cross so your body, my body, wouldn't have to do that. He experienced the wrath of God in his flesh, in his body. He carried the brunt. He carried the wrath of God for sin on his body so that we don't have to. Dear Jesus, we thank you today for your obedience. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your plan. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today for your presence. Thank you for being in the midst of us. Thank you for this communion that we have with you, Jesus, and this communion that we have with one another. We recognize today and we remember today the grace that we so desperately need. And we rejoice today in the forgiveness that we have because of your body. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen. Amen. You may eat. Hallelujah. All right, it continues on with this. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. I hope today that each and every one of us are a part of the many, that we're a part of the many that this blood has been poured out for. In other words, that we've recognized our need for the blood, right? Remember when we were talking about the wine? We said today when you partake of the cup, take a moment to say to God, well, here it is. thank you for your shedding. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. The blood that will never lose its power. The blood that removes the penalty and the power and the presence of sin from my life. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Amen. For those of you that are wanting to go into drive, but you're still in reverse, you're wanting to go forward, but you're still going backwards, remember, say this to God. Say this to God in your heart, in your mind. Watching me online, say this to God. Say this in your heart and in your mind. God, I want the power of the shed blood of Jesus to be at work in my life. Forgive me and give me the strength to live a holy life. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for the cup today. We thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for what it represents. We thank you for the sin it covers. We thank you for the penalty it removes. We thank you for the power of living it provides. And Lord, we rejoice today together. We remember all that it stands for. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Shall we drink? This piece of bread and this cup of juice symbolize a supernatural power, greater than we have the capacity to understand. Now, I will say this. I understand it better and better each year I live. The older I get, the more sentimental I become. But I still don't have my head wrapped completely around it. Not in the here and now. But one day, we will have a new and fresh body. And we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The body and blood of Jesus, broken for you, spilled out for you, shed for you so that you may live a victorious life. Will you receive it? Yes? Thank you, Jesus. Amen? As the deacon's symbol in the back, you guys can deglove, guys. Amen? They'll have their Bibles open, and as we depart, every time we do communion or the Lord's Supper, we take up a benevolence offering, and that money goes in the account for those church members and sometimes non-church members that have a struggle and need some help, and we're able to access some funds that are given specifically for benevolence. So as you get ready to leave here today, the Lord will lay upon your heart to make a donation to the benevolence offering that goes to folks in need that are suffering, that need some help. So if you stand with me today, are we going to sing a hymn? It's a hymn, amen? That's what it says in the Bible. It says, after singing a hymn, amen? They went out to the Mount of Olives. We don't have a Mount of Olives, but we do have a hymn. We got a hymn singing a hymn. Amen? All right. You guys have a great afternoon. The song will be your dismissal. Think about the rest of the day. Think about, as we go into this new week, about the beauty and the incredible power and relationship that you have with Jesus. And remember back to this time. Like this time when we broke the bread together, we partook of the cup one with another. Amen? Amen? It'll give you some strength. It'll give you some want to. It'll help you. Amen? Amen. You sing and close us, brother. Thank you.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Amen, amen.
The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our hardened prayers. Our fears are hopeless. hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.